Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to bump. It's time to thump. It's time to bludge. The best of bludging on the blind side.
In terms of emails, HG, this has come from Leonard. He said, I missed your explanation of where you put the slouch hat after the players run on. He's talking about the rural and regional Anzacs.
Rugby union side.
That's going to be part of if we ever hear back from Rugby Australia, which we haven't. Mm. We had the meeting at Concord Oval 2 weeks ago, you might recall. 3,000 people turned up, everyone happy to play.
And they named five teams. They named, obviously, Brumbies.
Yep.
Reds, Waratahs, Rebels, and Western Force.
That's it.
Five, count them.
Yep.
And, of course, the sixth prong of that competition is the Anzacs.
That's it. Now, you missed your explanation of where you put the slouch hat after the players run on and before it is lowered as a signal for the crowd to cheer.
Yeah.
If you had a ceremonial 303 with bayonet attached, stuck into the ground, you could rest the slouch hat on the rifle butt. You could even have an ex-player or some dignitary remove the hat and fire a shot in the air to gee the crowd up.
Now, hang on a minute.
That's not a bad idea.
It's a lovely idea, but aren't we imagining the 15 run on?
Yeah.
With all wearing slouches?
Yes.
Yeah, so we need, what, 15 rifles?
Well, the way we had it, well, in terms of Leonard's suggestion, yes, 15 303s. Mm-hmm. That's not to suggest you couldn't have the 15.
All on
all
one through.
Blow off.
Well, that'd be fantastic. With kids from local school involved?
And the crowd would obviously shout out, you know, there'd be bang, one, bang, two, bang. That'd be a countdown.
Yeah, two.
To tweet, kickoff.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I mean, talk about the spectacle of bringing something a bit different back to rugby.
That's
rather
right.
Than having some clown like Johnny Williamson waddle out and sing
Hey True Blue. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Now, this has come from Paul. He says, wondering, given your extensive contacts with the Rugby League, if you could verify a rumour circulating Brisbane regarding the recent performance of the Brisbane Broncos. You know, they'll beaten 50-odd blot. He's wondering, the next time the team shows a lack of pride in the club jumper and a flog to blot, they'll be required to lead Buck, the horse that used to canter around Lang Park when the Broncos used to score tries. Remember they used to have that horse?
Yeah, they did.
A Bronco?
That was weird, wasn't
Buck.
It?
Buck, yeah.
No, that was weird.
I know.
Seriously weird. I mean, wild animals.
Well, the Knights had a horse as well.
Oh, no.
Remember they had the Knight going around?
Yeah.
I mean, what's that about? It's like Bluey the dog.
I know. Bluey the dog.
Bluey the dog. That was Gus Gould's wheeze, wasn't it?
Now, these are
State of origin.
Are these, you know, pets, let's call them pets, looked after in their retirement from their on-field
well,
duties?
Well, that's a very good question. Now, he's suggesting, this is Paul, is that if they're flogged a blot, they'll be required to lead Buck into the middle of the ground and shoot it.
Wow. Hang on, we're going to get through a fair few horses.
Well, while any viewing audience live on television watches on. To add to the cruelty, I suppose.
This is a brutal letter.
It is very brutal. I've never known anything like it.
No, this is the...
Have you heard of anything along these lines circulating rugby league? No, I haven't, Paul. I did raise the point with a friend of mine that this approach would only work once.
Oh, I'll hang on
but,
a minute.
But my friend informed me that I was naive and that Buck was like the dog Lassie in the films and the TV series and that many animals play the same role over time and they could always find another Buck for this purpose.
Well, remember Inspector Rex?
Yes.
About
how many
30?
Dogs? About 50 dogs
involved.
Yeah, I know.
But can I point out, at the moment we've got a crisis of oversupply of Brumbies in the high country. Can you see where I'm going?
I do.
How about a Brumby from the high country ending his days involved in some bit of theatre like this?
Yes.
I mean, sure, it takes you a while to get a head around it.
It does.
But it would motivate the players.
It does. But there'd be a lot of effort, though, getting a Brumby from the high country.
I know, I understand.
And transporting it all the way up to Lang Park for the blow-off. I mean, that's just...
Too much. Carbon footprint.
Much better to have the Broncos go down to the high country... Pick up the 303s from the rural and regionals on their way through and do a bit of handiwork clearing up the high country.
Yeah, true.
Getting the ferals out of there.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
What a cruel letter, though.
Yes.
And can I point out that's about the cruelest thing we've ever suggested in all our years of doing this
and
show?
And mercifully, we didn't suggest it. It was Paul. Nothing to do with us. I mean, don't shoot the messenger. Yeah,
exactly, exactly. All we can do is report the facts as we see them.
As we see them.
And bring them faithfully to the Australian public.
Sure.
That's what the ABC's all about.
But it would be a sober thing, wouldn't it, HG?
Well, you don't have to see it once.
You would. I suppose Channel 7, Bruce could cover it.
And can I point out this week was a very bad week, I think, for horses on the track, or was it last week? I forget. Mm. We lost quite a lot of horses involved in the Sport of Kings.
Yes.
So-called.
You don't think they were in sympathy going out in sympathy with the Broncos?
They were. That's my mail.
I suppose Nine would cover it, wouldn't it? It'd be, you know, hello, everyone. Fatty my Borden name's... here brought him back in for a special.
Would it lead the news? Event. Would it lead the news? Yes.
Now, moving on from rugby league and horse racing, now it's time to add more feathers to his cap. This is
Peter Volandis.
Ivan talking about Peter Volandis. And now, there are three emails, HG, suggesting Peter Volandis should take over the Australian car industry. Right?
Car industry?
Yes, manufacturing, and get a new Australian car based on our discussion last week.
The Winx 4-litre.
The Winx 4-litre, yeah. They're suggesting a Volandis 5-litre as well.
Volandis 5-litre?
Yeah.
Are they expecting the petrol price to remain low?
I think they are. So there are three clear suggestions here. Keith, Richard in Canberra, etc., who are calling for Peter Volandis to reboot, kickstart, turn over Australian manufacturing to ensure that we can have an Australian car by the end of the year. And he thinks it's possible.
The best of bludging on the blind side. Common question. Is Rugby League Sex Week ever coming back? No. State and federal legislature has banned the event last held in 1997 in perpetuity. This is Bludging on the Blind Side.
Look, Col's been in touch, has she? And for people in Queensland, we were talking about the issue of players in the past having trades, that is AFL and rugby league players in particular having trades. It wasn't uncommon, whereas these days it is uncommon. Now, Col's been in touch. He says, talking of trades and footy players, do we remember when rubbish bins were picked up each week and emptied by two blokes running behind? In South Australia, it was common for footy players to do this to keep fit and earn some coin. It's going back a while, but I'm sure we can look. That's an enduring image for me. Players training, running behind, lifting up the bins. All of that.
Do you know what? I believe that this is fairly common. A lot of rugby league players have kept fit many years than that. Yep. Sadly, in my area, Tugger Coleman, the great former South halfback, he's a bin spotter to make sure they're all now, the wheelie bins are all lined up in the right spots. But he drives around in a car. See what I mean? This is where it's
I didn't know bin spotting was a...
Oh, that's a trade.
A trade?
Yeah, you see, I'd love to get Scott Cam's thoughts on the bin spotters.
Right, okay.
But you see...
You mean in your area the collection of rubbish is completely mechanised?
Mechanised. With your
utterly mechanised.
Utterly mechanised. In fact, so much so there's what I call...
What happened if there are cars in the way?
Well,
of the
hang on. I'm just going to come to that. Right. There's a bin puller who drags them out about
Well, then
a
the Coleman, Coleman's job isn't warranted. Because the puller can always make adjustments.
The puller often makes mistakes.
Oh.
And puts them in places where the mechanised
can't get access.
Yeah, can't get access. Or there's
well, that's
some
a training issue. Has Scott Cam spoken to this bloke? These people?
I don't think so. I'd love to see a Scott Cam, you know, PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
Placement
cars, of bins.
Curb. Where to put it?
That's it.
I mean, why isn't that? That is a good one to start with.
That's right. The Prime Minister's press conference. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'd like to just defer to Scott on this issue. Scott, thanks very much, Prime Minister. Now, bin placement is incredibly important. Someone else has been in touch here, actually. Justin from Earlwood. That's in the Sydney area. He says the ultimate tradie player was Father John Coutts. Maybe that's an option for the players. See, that doesn't happen very often anymore, does it? That you have a Catholic priest running around playing professional rugby league. Has there been any priests playing AFL?
Now, that I'd love to know. I'm sure there have been, but maybe not at the highest level.
Well, George Pell famously was a player, but not professional.
Well, he was just played in the seconds, I think, for Richmond. I could be wrong about that. Yeah. And I know that the church brought the game to the Tiwi Islands, supposedly.
Oh, okay,
the modern
yes.
game. I'm not talking about Mangrook or one of those, but the modern. No. This is going back in the 30s.
Yes.
So it does have a great connection, the church.
Now, you'd imagine the Collingwood Club, I think, has a Catholic history.
It does, and famously.
So there may well have been many a priest back in the day
who
put on the black and white.
Yes, and of course their great opponents were the Fitzroy Club, who are famously, and I hope I got this right, who are famously a Protestant club.
Oh, okay. Were there any pastors?
Well, Doug Nicholls became
a pastor.
I'm just clutching at straws here.
Yeah.
He became
well
a
remembered.
Pastor.
Right.
The world of church and AFL is closely tied.
Yes.
And
probably goes back to the days of Archbishop Mannix, Daniel Mannix. He would have had a club. He probably was partly responsible for the Collingwood Club, I'd suggest.
Yes, very good. Very good. I don't know that he played, but that's just
No, he definitely didn't play. He was too old by the time he got here. He was well in the 60s,
I see. I didn't realise that he was a blow-in.
Oh, yes. I think he came from Dublin, I want to say.
Right.
Or just
to sort the joint out.
To sort the joint out, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Now, look, can you just have a look at the text line? There was one interesting one.
Look, there is a question here, actually. I don't know who the question has come from, but someone is asking, is Israel Folau a pastor?
Yes.
Well, arguably he is.
Well, I think the whole family have signed up, haven't they? I think
that's correct.
The dad and the uncle and
didn't
Israel.
They start their own show?
They've got their own show. They've definitely got their own show, the Church of the Latter-day Folaus.
Yes.
And it's going gangbusters, as nearly as
apparently,
I can tell, with opening an arm in France at the moment.
That's
because
right.
obviously Israel's over there doing excellent work.
Yep. But can anyone start their own church? I suppose you can.
I'm pretty sure we're going through a golden age of online church startups.
Ah.
You know, so as if you're using Zoom or Skype, yep. I'm not sure how many people you can get with Skype, but Zoom might be the one where you can get more.
Yep.
People will know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can literally start a church tomorrow. Or you can start a Sunday church.
Legally and get, the tax arrangements you make. I mean, could people turn their own home into a church and make it tax-free, for example? I mean,
yes,
I don't want to create problems headaches
for
solicitors here or accountants or indeed tax agents. Or the government. But it seemed to me, you know, if you're allowed to do it, what is to stop every family in Australia starting their own church?
Nothing, as nearly as I can tell.
Well, there you are.
I think coming to your point.
Although, if you've got to have a certain number of congregation to give your church legitimacy.
Well,
I don't know.
I'd like to think that. But can I just put in, I thought you were going to stop a little bit earlier
right.
than the numbers that needed to give it legitimacy.
Yes.
If you used your house
yes.
as a means of earning the income for the church,
yes.
then I think it would be possible to claim and argue in the court that was a taxable.
Yes. Well, you just
concession.
Have to open up the lounge room for the
but
congregation.
You'd have to demonstrate that there was in a Christian sense,
yes.
there was an altar. If that was a tool of the trade, you don't have to have it.
Well, what if your church doesn't have an altar?
Yeah, I know. It's one of those modern churches.
It's one of those modern ones.
Well,
we don't even have a lectern.
But
we have a chair.
A chair, yeah.
And
okay.
the head bloke sits at the chair.
Yeah, but
no one else is allowed to sit on that chair during the session.
Can I point out you can buy a chair from IKEA
yes.
or a second-hand chair for next to nothing.
Yes.
Where you bet on safer circumstances is we put in a swimming pool, a 50-metre swimming pool, so we could do baptisms in it. Then you get an argument for tax concessions.
Now you're talking. Yes, I see now. And if you wanted to have a baptism of maybe all your parishioners at the same time, and if you
that might be a tenet in faith. We all do it together.
In which case you've got to have a totally 50-metre at least.
Oh, I know. With separation and
With
all
separation
that.
And all of that. Yeah. That's the. And if that was, if you based your church on, say, John the Baptist, where you spent a fair bit of time in the water.
Mm, that's what I mean.
Yes. So people come around in their togs and you can get terrific tax concessions.
You can.
Yeah.
Because remember, of course, in these straitened times,
yep.
this will be argued
yes.
as an important okay. element of faith, right. Of keeping the glue, the glue that holds the society together.
Exactly.
And you'll draw lines, not in the lanes, the eight lanes, but you'll draw in like a chessboard where people can stand.
Can stand, yes. And maybe,
you know, we got the pool built with the lanes. Now it has to be remarked. That is a cost to the church because we believe that is important to our faith.
Yep.
To stand not only in the pool, but to be correct distance apart.
Spatial separation. 1.6 or it might be 2 metres
now. It's gone up to 2 metres.
2 metres. So, sorry, we're going to have to realign. We went with 1.6. Mm. Get the tradies back. Scott Cam.
Can I point out?
Prime Minister deferring.
Yeah, that's
Scott,
right.
Do you want to take over? Yeah, look, it's not a problem. We can fix up that pool real quick.
Now, then the church suddenly becomes popular.
Yes, and everyone's doing it.
Well, hang on.
Knocking the house down to bung in a big pool.
The best of bludging on the blind side. Footy heads. The ethical obligation concept is a core value at the Bludge, along with a celebration of football and the belief that many officials and players cheat. We take the rough with the smooth and swerve around the sickos, pervs and weirdos at Bludging on the Blind Side.
2021, that's 20 minutes, 21 into the first quarter. Basil's asking everyone in the stadium, that's 60,000 people plus, to stand for a minute. I don't know who's doing the timing, but that's a separate issue. Basil's obviously got that under control. And applaud, this is Basil, quote, a nod to our friends around the country who are doing it tough and to let them know we're with them in this difficult time.
Mm. It's a lovely gesture, isn't it?
Yeah, Basil's got 20,000 Twitter followers and he said, let's do it, WA.
Yeah.
Then he came back later in the day and obviously following the backlash, as you can understand.
Well, there was blowback, was there?
Yes, quite a lot. The tweet prompted immediate backlash from fans with many hundreds of comments laughing off the proposal. I found that offensive myself.
Yes.
The overwhelming amount of replies to 7AFL's Twitter post on the same subject were completely against the idea. Then Basil bobs up on the Footy Show Grand Final Eve telethon.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't get a final figure on that. If somebody did have a figure on that, I'd love to know.
This must have been held in Perth.
Held in Perth, yes. Yeah. So Footy Show Grand Final Eve telethon to promote the idea.
Right.
When asked if the gesture was still going ahead, Lord Basil said, I think we are. I realise it's been received in a mixed way, but let me tell you the intention is pure. The intention was just to show everybody around the country that we're thinking of them and that we're with them and we know they're not doing it as well as we are over here, meaning in WA.
Oh, okay, yes.
And if we can lend a hand and lend some support, that's all. Nothing more complicated than that. Now, he went a bit far with the boat on the lend a hand and lend some support.
Mm.
I just think people applauding. People see it for what it is, just people applauding.
People applauding, yeah.
And but we're thinking of everybody in Victoria.
Yep.
Well, what's wrong with New South Wales?
Yes, yes.
Anyway.
On this telethon, HG, was Haim part
Haim would have been there, you know, doing things and a lot of the
Do we know how Haim, the hammer, feels about the applause? Is he
No, I don't know whether he wants to get the job done or not.
Right. Okay, because if it had the support of Haim,
it would be entirely different matter. Because those two are great double acts.
They are.
Now, they did something on Triple M on his breakfast show, and they just kicked it around in the studio. Why don't we all stand up at 20 minutes, 21 seconds in the first quarter? It was an organic idea.
Organic, right.
An organic idea. It's just stand politely, applaud. It's obviously been through the reasons why.
Yeah.
It's nothing more complicated than that, really. Now.
Yeah.
Can one of the radio announcers in Perth said, it's truly the most tone-deaf idea I've ever heard of.
Mm.
I bet people voting yes are from WA. Hearts in the right places, but please don't do this. It's cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy. Mm.
Now, can I just raise something? I know, and I know this is a difficult matter, but you've been a big advocate for the million pants burn-off for world peace.
Yes.
A proposal that has fallen on, you know, for lack of support in recent times.
Deaf ears, there was blowback.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The million pants burn off for world peace. I'm just wondering if I approached Basil, would you accept him as the face of the burn off?
Look, I think we can find a compromise here, HG. I think the idea of the 60,000 people standing for a minute and applauding, look, it just doesn't go
far enough.
Far enough.
No, it's not a commitment.
If the 60,000 people all stood up, took their trousers off and burnt them for a minute, then I think that would send a
positive signal.
Far more positive signal. Especially if they burnt them, instead burnt them with them on, wearing them, saying, we can feel your pain.
That's a beautiful idea.
It's a much better idea, isn't
it? Fantastic. And I think what should happen is ushers should be nearby.
With hoses?
Well, and cans of lighter fluid to get the Levi's jeans going. The thing that I thought you were going to suggest, which would have been a lovely touch as well, is to throw the burning pants onto the arena. Now, remember,
I hadn't thought of that at all. Yeah. Okay. At that moment.
2021.
In the match, everybody stands, takes their trousers off, removes the underpants, set fire to the underpants, hurl the underpants.
Now you're talking. Onto the field.
Onto the field.
Yeah.
The burning underpants. Can you imagine 60,000 pairs of underpants burning?
I tell you what, world peace would be within our grasp.
Well, it certainly sends a message, doesn't it?
It would get the job done.
Yeah, it would get the job done. And people on the east, us to eastern seaboarders, us, you know, stuck in our gloom.
Would put a bit of a smile on our face, wouldn't it?
It really would buck us up. We think, oh, those people in the west, they really care.
They're putting in for us.
Look at that.
Look at their torch.
Thank you, Basil.
Want to get more involved in rugby league? Drop into Rugby League World in Ipswich and talk to the team. No appointment necessary. The best of bludging on the blind side.
For more Roy and HG, search Bludge on the ABC Listen app.